Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and welcoming back Michael Yon, MichaelYon at locals.com, my colleague who has traveled the world these last year and more during the pandemic, now late pandemic, to follow the story of the great migration underway in South America to Central America to North America, in the Sahel of Africa to North Africa to Europe, in Central Asia to Turkey to Europe, in Congo, into Eastern Europe to Europe. All of these great movements, and now the Ukrainian movement, describe the dislocations at the end of the pandemic. Right now, Michael is sitting with the birds of Panama, where we last left him in the Darien Gap. He's surrounded by beauty here in the springtime in Central America. He is in southernmost Panama, along the border with Colombia. In front of him is a large refugee camp called San Vicente. And beyond that camp is the impassable Darien jungle that the immigrants do pass their way through in great danger. Michael first led us to the Darien Gap in the spring of 2021, when he and colleagues traveled to where he is now, and then traveled to the other side of the Darien Gap, and then spent time on the river that connected those emerging from the jungle to Vale de Quito, which is the Umbara village where people were deployed north. They moved from Panama to Costa Rica all the way to the American border and then into America. Right now, Michael's returned because of news all around him. I read some of it. This is Reuters. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas will travel with a delegation to Panama next week, that is in these next days following Easter, for a ministerial conference on migration with the government of Panama, according to a State Department release. I'll stop there, Michael, because we need to very much flag where you are and what you're seeing now. In front of you is San Vicente. What is that, Michael? Good day to you.
Good day. I'm in Darien province. And as you know, Darien province is the southernmost province of Panama where the border meets with Colombia. And the Panama Isthmus is previously called the Darien Isthmus or the Isthmus of Darien is where Highway 1 ends. Highway 1 starts in Alaska and goes all the way to Tierra del Fuego, arguably, except for this gap of more than 60 miles. Down here, the road is right behind me, like 100 meters from me. It goes to into the Darien jungle and then just ends. And so this is, and you don't pick up that road again until Colombia, right? So that gap where there's no roads is just the wildest jungle out there. And the Indians that I go out with a lot, those are also quite dangerous. They're very good to me. I like them, but they're very dangerous if you're coming through as an unknown. And then of course the jungle itself, there's about five mountains you have to go over. Three of them are actually pretty serious. One of them is called the Montaña de la Muerte, the Mountain of Death. And that's where huge numbers of people fall and die every day. And I mean, every day, I don't mean every once in a while, but there's probably 10% die out in the jungle. So once they make it over that mountain, the Montaña de la Muerte, then they start serious river crossings and many drown. Like, for instance, I was up on the river yesterday and the day before that, and we were seeing sleeping pads that were caught in strainers in the river and sleeping pad in tents, because that's what happens sometimes. I didn't see any bodies yesterday or on this trip at all, but sometimes bodies will be, you know, washing down the river in their tents, because, you know, a lot of the migrants that are coming through, they're from cities. They don't know anything about flash floods. They don't know anything about So they'll camp on the by the rivers out in the jungle, and you know there are mountains here, and this is a rainforest. So you know we know how this ends. So you hear so many stories about, you know, we were sleeping at night, and then we heard the screams. I barely made it. I lost everything, and you know my shoes are gone, and my friend is gone, and you know, and then the sunlight came, and we kept walking. And so I mean, this is what happens. So and many people just get lost. Huge numbers get lost and are never seen again. When I was out in Canaan Membrillo, which is a distant village about 3 hours upriver, like an Apocalypse Now river, the Rio Chuquinacá, and then you branch off to the right to Rio Membrillo, up in deeper into the jungle, howler monkeys screaming at you all the time, and saw a crocodile. Haven't seen one of those down here in a while, and so. You know, some of the migrants were talking about, I would never do this. I had no idea it was so hard. And I asked all of them, like, why did you do it? Did you know anything about this before? And they said, oh, yes, my friend said it was difficult, but he never said it was this difficult, or I didn't believe him. Or other groups, like especially Nepalese, will be, oh, no, we were told it's not difficult. But, you know, I spent a year in Nepal, right? I walked up to Mount Everest twice, just to the bottom. But you know what I mean? I've walked all over that country in Nepal. I've been in I don't even know how many villages. And Nepalese, they won't tend to give each other bad news. And I was with the Gurkhas also in Iraq and Afghanistan with the British Army. And the Gurkhas, they don't tend to berate people. They're like, you can do it. You can do it. It's no problem. You can go. So some cultures will kind of hide the bad news, and so that their family and friends won't be freaked out by it. And then others, apparently, because there's many cultures coming through here. And as you know, as a person who spent more than half of my life in other countries, in more than 80 other countries, I'm very familiar with many, many cultures. And so when you get all these different cultures coming through the jungle, they're all hitting the jungle with different perceptions, and almost none of them actually have jungle experience. So that makes it even more dangerous. And again, many are getting lost, and they'll follow these false trails. You hear these stories. Oh, I heard them just again in the last few days. They since when people get lost, they start making a new trail, like ants, right? So as the ants keep walking, they make a new trail. And then the next group follows that ant trail for a day more out in the jungle, and then have to turn around and come back a day.
And Michael, you've been talking to the people in San Vicente, the camp right in front of you. That's where you've been conversing most recently, although you've been to Vallecachito, Chiquito, and you've been to the new camp. So I want to give a frame of where everybody's coming from, because it's a year since you were there, and the numbers haven't in any way abated. That's why the Secretary of Homeland Security and the Secretary of State are traveling to Panama, because of the immigration crisis. You've listed already Nepal. You've talked about the people from other continents. What about Haiti? What about Cuba? What about Venezuela? Those were three countries that were contributing a great deal when you were there in May. Are they still coming into San Vicente?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And in fact, there's still many, many Haitians. And it used to be like last, I can't believe it's already been a year. And since that time, I've been all over the world, you know, Africa and whatnot, tracking migrants. But yeah, and this dog at this hotel has grown up now. It was a puppy when I left. Many Haitians coming through, many Cubans. And now there were a sprinkle of Venezuelans last year, but now I would say those are the top three. And I haven't seen the actual records yet, and I'm trying to get my hands on them now. But based on what I'm seeing here on the ground and talking with workers, I'm just going to take a directionally accurate guess, and it's about a third and a third and a third of those groups would comprise about 50% of the migrants, right? And the other 50% are from all over Africa. They're from Bangladesh, India, Nepal, Pakistan, Yemen,
And when you speak to them, when they take these risks, the Darien Gap is perilous. When they take these risks, why is it that they're there, Michael? A year ago, they would give you the reason that that America is welcoming to us. Do they still talk that way? Do they still think America's welcoming to them if they reach Texas border?
Absolutely. And one thing that I've heard, I don't know, a dozen times on this trip so far, is American dream. They'll say it in whatever language they speak. They'll be like, you know, broken English. And I told you I just met 9 mainland Chinese as well yesterday and the day before. And they didn't speak English or German or Spanish. I tried all on them. And they, but American dream, you know. And so I'm hearing this from many people. Somebody is, you know, filling this in their head, the American dream.
Right.
Now, we know from when I travel, you'll see, for instance, CNN will basically run almost infomercials. You know, I don't know if they're still doing it, but I've seen them in the past in Colombia, you know, where they're, you know, you'll be at somewhere at the airport or so. I don't know. Why is CNN on every airport in the world I go to? I mean, so, you know, the, you know, CNN will be, you know, filling their heads with all sorts of, you know, go this way, here's the routes, you know, people love you, that sort of thing. You know, and then they get out in this jungle and get killed.
All right. And let's take them from San Vicente, because it's a year, Michael. We have to help people understand what happens after San Vicente. They're bussed, not walking, they're bussed through Panama to the border with Costa Rica. From Costa Rica, they're bussed, not walking, all the way to Nicaragua, then on their way to Mexico, and from Mexico to the United States, if they're fortunate to cross at the right time. Michael, you have passed some of that by flying around Central America and coming in and spending time at the border town of Mexico. Do we believe that these people you're meeting in San Vicente, do they know what's ahead of them, that they have to cross 4 or 5 nations and then make their way across Mexico? Are they aware of this?
Some do. For instance, the Chinese that I first met, this group of Chinese 3 days ago now up at Canan Membrillo, deep in the jungle.
Right.
And that was when I said, wow, look at these guys. They look Chinese. And we went and you know, said hello and that sort of thing. Again, they didn't speak English, German, or Spanish, so I was roughing it on language. And so, but we, you know, so we were doing the, you know, translation thing. And, but yesterday, so I thought that yesterday they would move from Canan Membrillo by dugout canoe to this other village, which is 3 hours downriver. So I went to that village yesterday, hoping to intercept those Chinese, and it worked. It actually worked unbelievably. So I was in that other village, and sure enough, there comes the Chinese. And so then I sat down with them, and one of them was from Wuhan, and another one was from Guangdong. And the boy from Guangdong is 13 years old. I don't know if I sent you the photo. If not, I will. And I've got some video. And so I said, where are you from? They showed me on the phone because there was cell signal there. And then I said, where did you come to? Right. So they went to they flew to Ecuador, and he had waypoints at the hotels and whatnot that he was staying at, you know, with the names of the hotels. And I was trying to get videos and photos of those. But Cinefront, which is the Border Patrol, started hovering. But he clearly, you know, was dropping pins of where he was going. And then he had a pin exactly where we were sitting. So that Chinese guy, who I think right now is in the camp right in front of me. So I met him way out in the jungle and in Canan Membrillo. And then I intercepted him the next day, 3 hours downriver at another village, which is where they get out of the canoes. And then they put him on 2 Army Deuce or Cinefront Deuce Naps. You know, the old army trucks, and then they take them right down this road, which is like 20 meters from me, and then they take them to this camp that I'm looking at now, San Vicente. So the Chinese are probably in that camp in front of me right now. I can't get in that camp, but from here tonight, they will be put on buses, and those buses, like last night, about 5 went. I saw 3 at one time, and there was 2 that I didn't see, but I could hear them. And then the night before that, it was 5. And then they leave this camp and get right on Highway 1, which is, you know, 100 meters from me. They go down this clay road right in front of me, get on Highway 1, take a right, and then they go up to Costa Rica in the program called Controlled Flow. It's a program between Costa Rica and Panama to control the flow. And it was brokered by the United States. And then from Costa Rica, they'll end process again, and Costa Rica drops them off the Nicaragua border. And from there, they just cross, you know, semi-illegally into Nicaragua, which, you know, Nicaragua obviously lets them go through. And then they finally end up in, you know, through Guatemala and all that, they go to Tapachula, Mexico. Tapachula, Mexico is the southernmost city in Mexico, in Chiapas State, where I flew down there last year with Chuck Colton and Misako Ganah. And we went down there and we intercepted Medese, as you recall, and her mother and brother, they are from Haiti. And from there, they, you may have seen Oscar Blue. He's an excellent Mexican-American reporter. I communicate with him a lot. In fact, he just got robbed down there of all of his equipment from gangsters, which he was videotaping when they did it. And that was Guatemala. And then from Tapachula, they've been fighting a lot. There's been riots there all the time with the Mexican police and National Guard who are trying to block the road. So they'll just start walking north, which is, Tapachula is the southernmost city in Mexico, trying to walk north to the United States. But they finally get on buses, and then they end up,
at the Mexican, San Diego. At the Texan or California border. Michael Yon at locals.com for the chronology of Michael's travels these last years. We're going to turn to, now that we know why the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Homeland Security are traveling to Panama, because this flow continues uninterrupted, we're going to touch on where Michael's been the last year since we talked to him, because several of those places are now flashpoints, and one of them is at the front line in the war with Russia. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.